The Tigers are premiers for the 12th time in their history. The only this time. 4, 3, 2, 1. It's a goal. Right on the Tigers. Whoa, what about that? A 4-3-60 in slow motion. Just down the bars.
Oh, gee whiz. Had four shots on goal, and that was his worst.
Big arm takes the mark, and it's all too much for Leon.
Well, he's an accurate set shot, the big fella. 4 out of 5 so far this year.
Make it 5 out of 6. The skipper goes and goes, and then tries to lace it out, but no, he doesn't. He kicks a goal.
And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And we're doing this show for the second time, which, you know, is an occupational hazard of recording. But it's a strange week to be recording a second podcast about.
Look, I must admit, this was, you know, these aren't sort of like the 2017 or 2019 Geelong games where Geelong finals where I'd be quite happy to talk about them 4 or 5 times of all the games to have to record two.
And in fact, why don't we talk about them right now?
Yes, Tom Lynch was amazing in that game. Yes. Look, it's pretty grim to be podcasting twice.
Dusty!
He's breaking free down the wing! Oh my god, Nick, the pressure! A couple of years ago, it was actually after the 2017 season, met with some of my old footy mates in Canberra, and they said, tell the story, because they've always sort of lived vicariously through, they're not Richmond supporters, they've lived vicariously through me, through the ups and downs of Richmond supporting, and, you know, they knew how hard that, and they know you as well, how hard that, we take it when Richmond lose, and how we, so much of our id has been tied up in this, up till then, very unsuccessful football team. I tried to tell them the story of what it was like in the 2017 final series, and I got to the point of the moment where Geelong went onto the field, and you were deafened by the boos and supposedly their home game, and I became so emotional I started to cry, and that I never even got past the describing what the pressure was like in the second quarter of the Geelong 2017 game, so they never actually got the story of what the grand final was like.
Yeah.
So, suffice to say, this game did not inspire any of those emotions.
Didn't. Well, almost. I did. Marbiyat Chol winning it, who's from Queensland, winning a game in front of his family. Look, and you know that was a big moment for him. Or, you know, I'm sure for Jake Arts or Derek Eglamese. Smith, like, you couldn't tell those guys that this wasn't a big game in their, you know, second and third games of AFL football, respectively. And yet, you know, the other end of the spectrum of, you know, Basha Hooley's mother in hospital with COVID-19, like, it couldn't be more irrelevant, right? But, you know, Football is in a, like everything else in society, is in such a weird place at the moment. And, yeah, it's hard to make sense of it all.
Yeah, I have to say, you know, complaining about the game aside, and, you know, it may have come up once or twice in the media this week, I really enjoyed that it was on. It was a great distraction for me. Got invited to a Skype call with a couple of friends, and it was so much fun. Like, I actually really enjoyed the game. Like, you know, we discussed at great length the rating of Nathan Broad, you know, all sorts of things. And it was just, live, I really enjoyed the game, and it was only really on the replay that the full horror of the game struck me. It was we're basically 6 minutes in when Marlon gets the clearance, hand passes to Bolton, kicks that beautiful goal, and that's it. it's 6 minutes in, and we're only going to kick one more goal for the rest of the game. That's pretty depressing when that hits you when you're watching the replay. But Nick, just a little stat on Mabia Chol, while we're getting in. He alone had twice as many, as the second ruck, he had twice as many hit outs, more than twice as many hit outs as the entire Sydney team.
Yeah.
So, you know, good.
It was a shame of all the other weirdness about the game that we completely dominated the ruck hit outs, and it didn't lead to a crushing victory. Like, it was a bit of a repudiation of a lot of things that we hold true.
Well, I am offended by the premise of that statement. I don't really think even the biggest ruck fanboy in the world, me, would claim that it's the most significant statistic. I think it's contributing, and there is a small correlation between winning hitouts and winning games, but it's low. Mm. It's definitely not as high as some other indicators. But you know, there's multiple things. Like, it's like in the NFL, is it your quarterbacks who sucks? Is it your O-line, or is it your receivers, or vice versa, when you're good? And you got a good passing offense. And, you know, we lost all our starting midfield, basically. We lost Koch and Brestier and Edwards. And arguably
shout out to the great Swamp Thing on Twitter, who pointed out that, you know, Richmond has never lost more experience from one game to the next in season than it did this week. So, yeah, a little bit of loss of continuity is quite reasonable.
Yeah, and you could argue that because the Rucks were so dominant, and, you know, big assist from the Kennedy injury, that meant that we were able to, with, you know, let's face it, not the greatest, you know, with very much our B midfield, we were still able to, you know, win the clearances and dominate the game from the get-go, because, you know, we did a clearance where clearly the story of the game tactically, well, oversimplifying, like, you could see it at times when the Swans would get a free kick, you know, in their back 50 or like sort of in the half-back flank, and their players would actually run backwards. And the idea, like, you still three or four, the really depressing play, like, they were deliberately trying to set up a fat side switch and go round, and, you know, that's death against Richmond, because Richmond are always going to be able to, unless you've got the skills to really, pick you apart with a small chipping game, like the Pies do, and the Pies also have a lot of talent to be able to do that. It was a wet day, and the Swans definitely don't have the talent to do that. If you do slow switches against Richmond, we're going to kill you, because guys like Nathan Broad, Nick Foster, and Dylan Grimes, they're going to get in position, and they're going to play it perfectly. And that's basically the game. We sucked the life out of them, but we also, the ball was down there because, you know, our midfield was beating theirs on balance at the clearances.
Yeah, our defense was fully set up. And, you know, like, as you mentioned, all that, you know, Vlossie was great. Jerry Kegler-Macy-Smith, seven intercept disposals. Unexpected, but, you know, when he's going well, the defense is really set up and well structured. So, yeah, but also they were unopposed so much of the time, as, you know, Sydney parked the bus. They were trying to keep it close so they could steal a win, because they knew they were going to lose in a fair fight. And a big man division decimated by injuries. Maybe that was the right decision, but yeah, it wasn't pretty to watch.
No, I was and you know, Nick, I'm happy to criticize Dimmer at times, but I was very much on his side when he had a go. Like, I appreciate that he spoke out of anger, and he's since apologized, which is really disappointing, but he spoke the truth about Sydney's tactics, and it made life interesting that he said it. And there's sort of, you know, all these people who criticized Dimmer for breaking the paternity of coaching, all these people who earn hundreds of thousands of dollars a year because people care about football. Like, if you want football to be boring all the time, like, if that's Sydney chose to play those tactics, the only thing that made that game interesting for the neutral afterwards was the fight between, was Dimmer's comments. Like, you can't have a go at Dimmer.
Yeah. A, Dimmer, bit,
You get paid money because people want to watch your sport. You don't get paid money just to win. You get paid money because people watch.
Yeah. And like the whole fraternity of coaches. Like I think the Coaches Association is a great idea, you know, providing, because we've seen a lot of coaches have a tough time when they leave the industry. But, you know, this is also an industry that's had both Scott brothers in it until very recently. Like, yeah, they're not best friends with each other when they're competing to win. And yeah, it's nonsense to pretend otherwise. And yeah, even I think in the third quarter, remember a bit of play where it was in the Sydney forward 50. We got the ball, sort of broke the lines twice, so literally two distinct passages of play in succession. Tom Lynch out in the goal square, and he was 2-1-1 against. Like even when the passage of play was three kicks down the field, like they weren't trying to win.
Yeah, look, if I was a Sydney fan, and it's funny, we're recording this conversation twice, and I'm definitely more bolshy the second time I talk about it. like, you know, it's like the Swans, and I appreciate, you know, that they have a lot of injuries, but their injuries are about level with ours, maybe slightly, ours are slightly worse.
Well, they're different. Like they've sort of lost most of their good big men, and we sort of lost our good midfielders. And you know, they're a rebuilding team, so we've just got more depth to be able to cope.
Yeah, and but look, you know, they have to plan with the future without Buddy. But they're not going to. But let's and obviously losing your best mid in the game, that's bad. Like, you know. But Nick, let's not be.
Parker still played.
True. Maybe I'm a bit old-fashioned there. I just love Kennedy. Always have. Look, Sydney had less players than we did. They had 9 players with less than 50 games experience, and we had 10. Now, admittedly, a couple of our less than 50 games, that includes Jake Arts, who's not exactly inexperienced or young. But, like, it's not like they're... They're not super, like, what was meant to be achieved by that? They're not going to make the 8. They're not playing finals. What are you teaching your team by coming out and playing like that? Like, to me, it just seems so pointless and self-defeating. And they're not playing a great team. They're playing a team that's wearing the jumpers of a great team. But, you know, this is Derek Iglesias Smith. You're playing a team with that's starting Jack Graham as almost your number one midfield spot. Like, I don't know. They came out so defensively, it annoyed me. But you know, this is not Sydney Tiger talk, so maybe I'm Sydney Swans talk, so maybe I'm over focusing on them. But like, I don't think we're blameless in this. We are struggling to score. We've had, if it was just one game, it's. You'd say that, but no, it's not. We've had multiple games of low scoring. But you've also got you can't get, look, I think all things considered, weird season. There's so many weird upsets happening. The fact that we're above 500 is actually really good to this stage. And if we beat North, we're more than a game above 500. I'm actually pretty happy with things, all things considered.
I know the lesson from 2019 is that, you know, you survive the tough times and hope that you can get in a position where you get, you know, you get your team all back on the field, and for all the injuries, nobody's ruled out for the season yet. So you've just got to go week by week, and yeah, parts of this, you know, we're, not only are we missing our best midfielder to kick to them, but you know, Tom Lynch and Dusty are both carrying injuries. Seems like almost all the small forwards are struggling to be consistent. We're going, but only just.
Sorry, aside from all the headline injuries, the Dusty thing is a real thing. he's not well. On the champion data stats, he was something like our 15th best player. You know, he had that one marking goal, which was actually really useful in a four goal game. But he's really struggling, and that's you know, best for first winner, captain, centre half back, most creative player, and best player are all like Dusty's just only slightly better than not playing at all. Maybe it's a bit harsh in his output, but he's just middle ranked at this time. So like, yeah, to get to where he's going, and I just hope he gets better. And you know, we've seen this before, but can't wait. You know, but to be sort of rolling through and doing okay. Yeah, and look, you know, let's not mince words, Nick. According to champion data, Camden Wackintosh was our best ranked player with 24 disposals. and Jack Graham had.
I would have thought you'd have preferred the AFL rating saying that Ivan Solder was our best player.
Yes. So you got a choice between Solder or Wackintosh as your best statistical player. That's, you know, it's probably not how. You know, that's not the core of a team that's, you know, that's going to be in this discussion with the 2001 Essendon as the best team.
Neither of those guys were in our best 22 2 weeks ago.
Yes. And, of course, naturally, we were hoping that Nathan Broad would be our equal third highest possession getter, or fourth highest possession getter, on the game. So, you know, it's all going well. And Jack Graham, like I said, led the team on inside 50, entries. So yeah, there's, all sorts of wacky stuff. And so, you know, just to talk about the players a bit, Cameron McIntosh's 12, contested possession. So, you know, it was a wet game, really suited him, but, really nice to see him bossing it and giving us drive along that wing, which is his specialty.
Just working super hard. Yeah, I enjoyed having him back in that role.
And what do you think? And Graham's role, it's actually very much statistically a return to what his 2018 games look like, where he led the team in pressure acts and he had six tackles and quite a low tackling game for us actually, but 16 possessions and 400 meters gained, so like competent, which is certainly better than I think he's much more suited to a midfield role than a defensive role.
Yeah, I agree. I quite liked Higgins. We talked about Higgins before, but he's just slotted in and working super hard, both ways.
That's a very quote. Bolter does very well on the pressure axe, better than, I don't know if you consider him a true forward, but he does better than any other forwards on the pressure axe. He gets further up the ground.
No,
so
it's not
the same role.
You don't get the Dan Rioli running somebody down from 20 metres. With Higgins, like he's a much more of a short burst player in close. But yeah, and I'm almost a little sad that Dave Asprey might be back this week, because yeah, I have genuinely enjoyed the Noah Bolter experience, and yeah, do you think can we play both of them?
Good question. I mean, it's actually frustrating that the one injured player or one player not playing is the one guy that we have the most competent replacement for. He was less exciting this week. Didn't, you know, have as many flashy contested marks, but didn't do anything wrong, which to me was real progress. And yeah, it was a difficult game for him. The ball wasn't getting down there. The matchup wasn't right, but you know, he was part of a back line that played structurally extremely well. He obviously didn't stuff anything up. I think he's actually, I'd love to see him keep playing. Whether you can, well, as you've pointed out to me, that, you know, North are a bit more traditional in how they structure up. And, you know, it would mean we're quite a tall back line. You've got four guys above 190, but, you know, it's not an outrageous, it's not an outrageous amount of height given the versatility of Grimes.
No, and it'd depend. Like, so North, North, quite, as you said, quite traditional. They play two rucks, big key forwards, like Ben Brown, Nick Larkey, if he's back in the team, Cameron Zerha, who's quite a big boy as well. So yeah, you could certainly justify it. Because I don't know. I'm not quite ready for we've got a lot of new players in, but yeah, I really enjoyed the Noah Bolter experience.
Yeah, and he's got upside, untapped upside. Like, just the potential is amazing. To mock something I said last week, he just needs to get his confidence right, and then he'll be amazing. So, speaking of which,
dry weather forecast on the weekend as well. So, I think we were a bit when it started raining. I was like, oh, we're a little bit tall here.
Yeah, I think that's true. And look, we do have, I don't want to overdo it, but so there's a debate about Rioli, as Conrad Marshall pointed out in his excellent book, that a lot of what the coaches like, right, you can't see on the TV because he does a lot of defensive running, and a lot of fat side cover, and does a lot of things that you don't necessarily always see. The thing is, having watched a lot of Richmond games, and even without knowing that, I could tell Rioli was great at running defensively. In past years, you can't see or know everything the coaches do, but you just see him zooming off and as you say, doing those 20-meter rundowns, which I think are incredibly, when the switch is on, which I think are incredibly important, because they just give everyone less time to pick up to do the better kick. I just don't see it now this year. The obvious measurables are right down. He had 6 possessions on the weekend, no shots a goal, but and his pressure acts weren't terrible. That are sort of within the range of what he normally does, but I just don't see the burst. There's something, it doesn't feel right to me.
No, and Jake Arts was off. On the week before, so yeah, we didn't get much out of our small forwards.
Yeah, at all. Arts' pressure rates were okay, but I have to say it was probably more about the level I expected him to play. We got a 2-game sample size. He'll presumably get another week. We lacked. I hope you're sitting down when I say this. After kicking 4 goals in a game where we dominated the inside 50s, we lacked a bit of spark up forward.
We did, yeah. I thought Bolton gave us spark in the midfield, actually. But yeah, not so much up forward.
Yeah, I mean, loved his goal too. The two highlights to the game to me was the Pickett to Bolton, and it was a great tap from Soldo that set that up too. The other one was, surprisingly enough, also started with a ruck contest, where Chol grabbed the ball out of the ruck, actually having bench pressed, beat his man in a test of strength, which I just loved. Set up, I've forgotten who did the entry kick, but set up that lovely, after running with the ball and using the ball cleverly, set up that entry kick to Dusty where he kicked the goal. So, the two best bits of play were sort of, Bolton's been dropped this year, and Chol's hardly a first choicer. So you got two guys who are technically a bit on the margins, both doing the best things in the game.
Jaden Short, I think, is possibly in career best form. He's top 10 in the AFL, kicks, bounces, and metres gained. And, if only we could set him up a bit more for those 50-metre shots on goal. I think he's doing really well otherwise, but that would be the cherry on top. Andy?
So, Jane Short, he is in extremely good form. 26 touches, which is probably equivalent to 30 on a normal game, normal game time. I agree with the long, would have been nice to have a few long shots at goal, and went at 85% effectiveness, disposal effectiveness, which is pretty high rate from, for the role he's doing. So, yeah, good game.
I think, I think the best thing that can be said about the game, you know, that we dominated the bulk of play without playing particularly well. So, yeah, something to work from.
Yeah. And there's, you know, and like, it was really nice, you know, not the 84 Chicago Bears, but, you know, as put it, we did win the Rucks 32-5 and 12 hit out to advantage to none. So, you know, like, yes, they were, they had a favourable matchup, but you know, you got to hit the shot, and Soldo and Chol did. So yeah, that was exciting. Probably the only other person that I want to mention was Marlon, who was like, good physical pressure, and I was glad he didn't get rubbed out, because to me, he didn't, obviously I'm one-eyed, but he didn't drop the shoulder in, and you know, he wasn't trying to. It was just, you know, look at the difference between that and say the shield incident, where they clearly braced for impact and dropped the shoulder into the person that they're hitting. Marlon didn't do any of that, but yeah, he had one touch in the entire first half. And I appreciate that he's clearly focusing on the physical side of the game, but yeah, that's worrisome.
Yeah, like he comes up, he was our best player in terms of the Telstra tracker has average speed of, you know, who works hard in attack and who works hard in defence. And nobody worked harder in defence than he did, which, you know, is a useful part of his game. But yeah, to be a midfielder, he's got to win more ball, and we want him winning more ball, you know, relative to Jack Graham, because yeah, he's creative and dangerous when he gets it, and we are having to use duct tape and Band-Aids to keep our midfield together for the next few weeks.
Yeah, I do worry a bit without the sort of, without a bit more A quality in the midfield, I worry about our scoring power. You know, clearly the way his teammates are talking about, Lynch was quite badly injured in that game. So I think the sort of, like, he should have had two goals, you know, two goals and providing a target is probably all that we can expect from Lynch for the next few weeks. You know, he's not going to bail us out with a five-goal monster game. So, yeah, the creativity needs to come from elsewhere.
Yeah, and because, yeah, transitioning to North Melbourne, they're not going to be easy. Like, competitiveness is in their DNA. But also they're struggling. The percentages, 85. Ben Brown's well off. Like, I think his type of key forward, where he works really hard to create space. Well, space is hard to come by this year. And they're pretty reliant on Cunnington. He seems likely to be out injured. So yeah. We're 11-point favourites, which seems generous, but North will be competitive, but they're certainly beatable.
Yeah, the on coach's corner, the Richmond midfield coach said that he expects he implied that he thinks both Zabel, who's probably more of a name now than, but still adds to the table, adds to their, you know, is the what we think of North traditionally being a grunty team, and Cunnington, who is, you know, a homeless man's Dustin Martin in terms of his importance to his team, to use Nickism. So yeah, it's like they're big outs. But they are, I agree entirely. They're honest. They turn up. They will beat you. I think they're, in some way a benchmark team, as they beat you if you don't turn up to play. This is, this is two teams that are struggling a bit wounded, so it's not going to be an easy out. That Dave Astry being back probably doesn't solve all the problem. It doesn't really solve any problems immediately. Just gives us a bit more depth. So, it's going to be a tough game and a really significant game because we're probably, you know, with the greatest respect, we're going to be realistic, reasonable underdogs against the Giants in Sydney. Mm. So that's going
to definitely. Assuming we can play in Sydney.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, frankly, I hope we don't because we don't play that game well, ground well.
No.
So
no, and Goldstein's going to be a problem. Like Goldstein is leading that AFL in clearances for this season, which is pretty remarkable for a 32-year-old. But
yeah, incredible, and he's like all his hit out stats are amazing too. So yeah, he's really interesting. Sorry, when I say amazing, his sort of percentage win stats are all really good. Like a huge game for Soldo to, and I think he'll do it right. I think actually Soldo's best quality. I think he's quite good at having honourable losses against top ruckman. That's all. He just needs to give him a really tough contest.
I know, and you know Goldstein is still athletic for a ruckman, but yeah, you know if he senior used to really struggle with Goldstein, but I think if he junior's better equipped physically to he can be the instigator of the violence.
I have to say, actually, you've just put in a little sign. If you were to guess who Evie's cousin was, you'd actually, and you didn't have the physical, because they do look slightly facially, you'd actually guess that Nank, the way they play, that Nank and Evie are related, not Nank and Soldo. Soldo and Matt Marich, because they're quite, Soldo is not like his cousin as a ruckman.
No, it's... He's 4 centimetres taller, and yeah, I reckon he's probably got him for leap as well. So North, with Goldstein, North are a very good clearance team, but they pretty much break even on inside 50s, and yeah, they are bad on the turnover game, which hopefully, when we play well, we're quite good at. And the net result is all those clearances don't result in the other team having 4 more shots at goal than they do on the season so far. So, yeah, I think playing to our strengths, such that their strengths aren't so much of an issue, is a big thing for us.
Yeah, and what's the one bit of the team other than Asprey that's in? But still, actually, it's not full of strength either because Hawley's out too. I was going to say, but at least we've got the strongest part of our team now is probably Vossi, Grimes, and Broad, all of whom are in extremely good form. Vossi, I've been a bit worried about his form line, but he had 10 intercepts against the Swans, so clearly a return to form.
He was good. Yeah.
Look, I agree entirely. I'm just so glad we're not playing at Docklands. I'd be much more worried if we were playing there. So
I know.
So right, we're just so bad there.
Conspiracy, Nick. Not that the AFL uses Richmond to prop up the unpopular clubs, but we've played 2 games at the MCG in home and away against North since 2012. Two games home and away against the Suns ever, and 4 against the Giants. 2015, we played 2 games against North, one at Blundstone and the other at Marvel Stadium. So both of their home grounds. Come on.
Yeah, fair point. Fair enough. Look, Nick, I'm really grateful and not to be forgotten And I know not everyone has this emotional reaction. I'm completely understanding of the people who don't, but I'm just really glad football's on and we have something to watch.
Oh, yeah. Look, in there, in difficult and, you know, stressful circumstances, yeah, it's nice to have, you know, a certain degree of normality, and as abnormal as the football has been and the circumstances around it, it's still far more normal to have it than not. And, you know, to be excited about new players, worried about injuries, like they're... I'd rather be worrying about that than some other far more serious things, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly. The whether Sydney Stack plays this week is far is a pleasant distraction from daily counts.
Yeah, and you know, with 2020 being what it is, yeah, we can't take it for granted. Just as a lifetime of cliched coach interviews have prepared us for this year, we're just taking it one week at a time.
Indeed.
I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
The Tigers are premiers for the 12th time in their history. Rioli, this time, 4, 3, 2, 1, it's a goal! Right on the siren! So well taken. Whoa, what about that? A 4-3-60 in slow motion, just down your marks!
Oh, she is. Had four shots on goal, and that was his worst.
Big arm takes the mark, and it's all too much for Leon.
Well, he's an accurate set shot, the big fella. 4 out of 5 so far this year.
Make it 5 out of 6. The skipper goes and goes, and then tries to lace it out, but no, he doesn't. He kicks a goal. How sweet it is, eh? Pickett lines up.
Going off everywhere at the moment. Pickett's having an influence in his first game of footy.
Started with him.
Yeah. Dusty's dangerous. The swarming pressure is overwhelming.
Didn't want the body contact. He kept the body free. The pickup's unbelievable. That's a play of the game. That is a play of the game.
We underestimate the footy brain in Dusty Martin. You look at his physical ability. That champion data would tell us 7 out of the last 9 finals you can make the case for being best on ground.
I think they were a better team last year than they are now.